Welcome to Chart and Compass Ministry, a ministry of Christ Lutheran Church in Cape Canaveral, helping you to navigate through the storms of this life by the ever-accurate compass of the Word of God. I'm pleased to share with you today another message from Pastor Greg Lucier, and the message today is titled, How to Endure Suffering.
God's grace, His mercy, His peace be with you today through Jesus Christ, our Savior.
Amen.
Today I'd like to talk with you about how to endure suffering. Anybody out there suffering today? Any pains, trials, troubles, tribulations you're going through? How can we endure, as Christians, suffering and pains in this life with, here's the kicker, with a never give in, never give up, winning spirit and attitude? How can we do that as Christians? You know, we all face pains, troubles, tribulations, trials, hardships, difficulties, challenges, calamities in this life. How can we go into that, though, as Christians, suffering, but also never giving up, never giving in, and always with a winning spirit? That's our subject for today, what God has to say to us. Now, if we want to talk about that, we can do so in some broad brushstrokes and generalities. Do you want that? Or would you rather have a concrete, specific example? What do you say? I think I'd go with a concrete, specific example. So we need to find a man who has suffered more than anybody else has ever suffered, and then somehow done so with a winning, never give up, never give in, winning spirit. Who can we look to find such a man? Well, other than Jesus Christ, of course, who's number one, but of everybody else, the number one guy I can look to and find, no one greater than this, is the Apostle Paul. He suffered, really, if you think of it, even more than Job. He suffered more than anybody else. And yet, who else had such a winning spirit, a never give in, never give up, winning attitude as Paul, and came out in the end on top, finally, as victor? I think if we can look at his life, which we're going to do today, learn his secrets, how he did this, all we got to do is simply imitate him, and then we should get the same results. And you will, because this is God's word. So let's take a look today at how to endure all of our pains and sufferings, which you're going through in this life, and have a never give in, never give up, winning spirit attitude in them, and come out also as victors in the end. So let's take a look at that today, see what God would teach us. First of all, let's ask this. Is Paul really indeed qualified to be our man, our example to follow, our role model, our hero to imitate? Let's take a look and see if he's qualified by checking out his sufferings, how great they were in 2 Corinthians 11. He says, comparing himself to the false teachers that were coming to that church, the false apostles, he says, I had far greater labors, far more imprisonments, with countless beatings, often near death. 5 times I've received at the hands of the Jews the 40 lashes, less one. 3 times I've been shipwrecked, beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. 3 I've been shipwrecked, a night and a day adrift at sea, on frequent journeys in danger from rivers, danger from robbers, danger from my own people, danger from Gentiles, danger in the city, danger in the wilderness, danger at sea, danger from false brethren, in toil, hardship, through many a sleepless night, in hunger and thirst, often without food, in cold and exposure. And he says in verse 32, at Damascus, the governor under King Aretas guarded the city of Damascus to seize me, but I was let down in a basket through a window in the wall and escaped his hands. Is this guy qualified, would you say, to be the man who suffered greatly? Beaten, attacked, stoned, slandered, hunted, endangered, with great pains of body and soul. Imagine this guy had 196 lashes on his back. He wants to prove it to you. He just take off a shirt and say, look, my whole back is scars from what I've suffered for Christ. And guess what? He did all of this, can you believe it, even at times being deserted and abandoned by everybody. He was found to be the last man standing in many occasions against thousands of enemies coming against him to kill them, and yet he didn't yield. but he went forward to win. He says in verse 29 of that chapter, "Who is weak then, and I'm not weak? Who is made to fall, and I'm not indignant?" And if I could relate Paul to something, well, I don't know if you're old enough to remember, actually, looking at you, probably you are, but remember Weebelos wobble, but they don't fall down? Remember that toy? You can knock them down, but they just kept on popping up. You could knock it down, but you couldn't keep it down. Up it comes again. That's Paul. He says in 2 Corinthians 4, "We are afflicted," or "I am afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but I'm not driven to despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed." I also picture Rocky, one of my favorite movies. Remember in the beginning when he's fighting Apollo, Apollo just can't believe this guy. He keeps coming at him. Apollo eventually gives him what he thought was a death blow. Rocky goes down and Apollo starts walking around. "I'm the winner, I'm the winner." And he turns around and he sees Rocky get up and says, "Come on, come on, come on." And he was like, "I can't believe this guy." And they go and fight again. And they'd had a more or less draw. I guess Apollo won somewhat, but Rocky stood the test. And then Apollo says, "I'm going to destroy and annihilate this guy. I'm going to humiliate him in my next fight." His manager, remember that scene where his manager comes to Apollo and he says, "Don't do that, baby. Why not? You don't think I can beat him?" He says, "Last time you fought this guy, I saw a man get beaten like I've never seen anyone get beaten before. And this man just kept coming at you. We don't need that kind of man in our life, baby." And but Apollo went forward anyway, and Rocky destroyed him, beat him, won, and came out as victor. Now that is just fantasy. That's a movie. Paul was that in a concrete, real-life example. You couldn't beat the guy. The more you beat him, the more he came back determined, and he won. That's the spirit that we want. And so he's the example. So let's check out his life. What were his secrets to enduring all that pain and suffering with a never give in, never give up attitude to win in the end? Don't you want that? Let's check out his secrets and then just imitate them. You're going to get the same results. So in the Bible, what do we see? Number one secret, you ready? Paul expected pain and trouble in this life for following Christ. Do you expect it? Look, he didn't expect his life to be a cakewalk, hunky-dory, a bowl of cherries, peaches and cream. Getting hungry yet? Very hard. He expected it to be very, very hard. He expected trouble. And how did he prepare himself for that? Or who prepared him? Jesus. Remember when God, Jesus, sent Ananias to go save Paul? What was the word? He says to Ananias, "Go to Paul, for he is a chosen instrument of mine to carry my name before the Gentiles and kings and the sons of Israel." Verse 16, "For I will show him how much he must suffer for the sake of my name." So Paul, at the very start of his ministry, heard he's going to have to suffer immensely for this great call and mission. So what happened when Paul got attacked? He was not troubled by it. It didn't unsettle him. And it didn't knock him off his guard or off his balance. It was completely expected. He's like, "Check mark. I'm okay with that. It's just my daily fare. I'm good with it." He was ready for it. How long did it take him, by the way, to suffer? Acts chapter 19, he's recalling this, chapter 9. In verse 17, check it out. The guy was saved. Verse 17. By verse 23, they're trying to kill him. Death threats from the Jews, and he had to escape the city, as we read a few moments ago. So, did that stop Paul? Because he met with immediate opposition, pain and trouble and tribulation. It only was a springboard to go with greater strength ahead, even for the joy of suffering for Jesus. So let's talk about you, though. How about you and me? Do we have this same kind of spirit and attitude when we face pains, troubles in this life? Well, I would say we're not so good. Maybe you are, but I'm not so good. Maybe you're not so good at facing pains and troubles this way. Why are we not so good at this? Answer, because we're not so much listening to Jesus and the Bible, but we're listening to Hollywood. You guys watch a lot of movies? I'm sure you have in your life. What's Hollywood present to you about the ultimate hero story? They've told you the same story thousands of times. It starts this way. A boy grows up. He becomes a young man. Boy meets girl. Boy loses girl. Boy fights great fight against villain. Boy gets girl. Boy marries. And they live happily ever after, starting at age 22. The rest of the life is just supposed to be peaches and cream. Smooth sailing. No more troubles. Everything's happily ever after. How many times has Hollywood tried to grind this and engrave it in your spirit that that's the way life should be? What happens if that is your view of life and then Apollo Creed comes onto the ring and starts beating and pummeling you? You're not going to be ready for him because you don't have the spirit that Paul had, because you don't listen to Jesus' words as Paul did. Look, in the Christian life, what does Paul tell Christians? He says in 1 Thessalonians 3, he says, "For when we were with you, we told you beforehand that we were to suffer affliction, just as it has come to pass, and as you know." Do you expect it in your life, even to the last breath you have here, that there will be pain and tribulation until you leave this world? If you expect that, you'll be ready for it. It won't unsettle you. But if you believe Hollywood, well, you're going to be like, "Woe is me. Why is all this happening to me? Why do I have to face all this? What's the matter? This is not the way they told me it was going to be." Peter says, "Beloved," this is 1 Peter 4, "don't be surprised at the fiery ordeal which comes upon you to prove you, as if something strange were happening to you. This is the fare and daily bread of all Christians till you leave this world. This same experience of suffering," says Peter, "is required of your brotherhood throughout the world." In other words, we're all in the same boat. Paul, Peter, John, the rest, Jesus say, expect pain and trouble. It's okay. That's just the Christian life. And if you do, when you meet Apollo, you're going to be ready for him and you will triumph. So that's number one secret. Paul expected pain and trouble. Do you? Well, get the biblical view, God's mind in that. The second way, though, Paul had a secret to win is because he knew not only that he would suffer, but also why he would suffer. Do you know the why? Well, he knew it was not just going to be an easy walk, but tough, because he was in a holy war, a divine competition, a great fight against evil forces, the devil, and his band of destroying angels. For a righteous cause. Do you believe that you have a righteous cause? Check it out. Paul knew it. We read here in Acts 26. Jesus said to Paul at the start of his ministry, he says, "But rise, stand upon your feet, for I have appeared to you for this purpose." Say the word purpose. "For this purpose, Paul, to appoint you to serve and bear witness to the things in which you've seen me and of those things which shall appear to you, delivering you from the people and from the Gentiles to whom I send you, to open their eyes, that they may turn from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and have a place amongst those who are sanctified by faith in me." You know what? If we just suffer in life for pain's sake, who can bear that? Who can put up with that? Who can get through it? But if you have a righteous cause for which you're suffering, a man can endure anything. Paul had a righteous cause. He was fighting a great war to win and beat the devil. Good versus evil, light versus darkness, Christ versus Satan. Is that your war, even in all the pains that come against you? You know what, we might think, "Oh, Paul, yeah, he was openly fighting the devil, but I'm just suffering pains and lusts. I don't even see it as the war." Well, that's our problem. You remember Job? Well, sometimes we fight the devil openly, but sometimes it's just for being a Christian. Job didn't know that there was a war going on, actually, if you read Job. But what does he do? He gets tornadoes. He gets his wealth goes away. He gets his children are killed. He suffers boils in his body. If only he knew that that was because there was a holy competition going on, he would have fared much better as Paul. He didn't know. And so he says, "Woe is me. I cry. I don't know. Why did I even get born?" But, you know, Paul, I choose Paul rather than Job, as great as Job is, because Paul knew this, all these sufferings and pains whether it be an open fight or just suffering from behind the scenes, the devil's not coming at me in my life. This is all for the holy purpose, that in all these I persevere in Christ and give him the glory as I come through on top. You know what? For a righteous cause, you can endure anything. Look at the old movie, World War II. I, of course, watch a lot of those. And remember the Guns of Navarone with Gregory Peck and David Niven and Anthony Quinn? These guys were Allied commandos. Who would do this in peacetime if there were no war? They were charged. All right, here's what we want you to do. Go in dangerous, perilous, freezing seas. Swim at night in the cold to an island. Scale a 500-foot cliff where at the top there are men waiting with machine guns to mow you down. Infiltrate the fortress. Destroy two huge Nazi guns, 17 inches. Blow them up. Scale yourself back down the mountain. Swim out into the freezing sea and see if you can survive getting to a boat. Who could endure such things as that if not for a cause, a righteous cause? Nobody would do it. Nobody. But because it was war, and because they were trying to save tens of thousands of American sailors and British sailors from those guns, they did it. And they went forward, and they got the victory. It's the same way in life, friends. Everything you do, whether you realize it's a fight or not, you're in a war. Satan's after us, but Christ gets the victory. So you are after a righteous cause outwardly, to shine to his glory, to save souls, and to just bear up under the life that we have, unstoppable, like Rocky, and coming to victory, even with a cheerful smile, you could say, and a sly grin, though the pain is searing, because you're a warrior. And that's what God has called you to be through these things for Christ. So you have a righteous cause. That was Paul's secret number two. Number three, he knew, Paul also, that Jesus was with him always. He was never alone. Do you feel that, or do you believe that, I should say, in your pains and tribulations, that you're not alone? You know, suffering is tough enough, right? But to think that you're going through all these things by yourself, deserted, alone, abandoned, all by yourself, who can endure that? But you got to believe. And this is easy to say, but hard to believe. Let's believe it, that Jesus is with you in all of your pains. Paul knew it. Jesus had to say to Paul one night in a vision, "Don't be afraid, Paul, but speak and don't be silent, for I am with you, I am with you, I am with you. And no man shall attack you, for I have many people in this city." You know, Paul had to face all kinds of times where thousands were coming against him. Everybody deserted. He was the last man standing. But how did he do it? Because he believed he was not alone. Again, in 2 Timothy 4, he says, "At my first defense, no one took my part. Everybody deserted me. I may not be charged against them, but the Lord stood by me, and he gave me strength to proclaim the word fully, that all the Gentiles might hear it. And so I was rescued from the lion's mouth and saved for his heavenly kingdom. The Lord will rescue me from every evil and save me for his heavenly kingdom. Because I am not alone. I can do all things in Christ who strengthens me." So if we think we're facing these things by ourselves, realize Jesus is with you. You know, there was a man once who was terrified in his life. Nightmares, afraid to go to sleep, terrified of life. One night he just decided to set a little chair down next to him by his bed, empty. He said, "Jesus, you sit there, you be with me, as you've promised." Do you know that that man was never afraid to go to sleep again? Anytime he started to feel it, he'd just look over and say, "There you are, Jesus." Maybe try that tonight. Put a chair by your bed. Say, "Jesus, sit here and be with me." Imagine him and picture him in your mind wherever you're going. He's standing right there because he says, "I am with you always, to the close of the age." If you believe that, Paul says you can do anything because he says, "I know now the secret. I know how to be abased and to abound in any and all circumstances. I have learned the secret." Say secret. "I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and want. I can do all things in him who strengthens me." And he could do that because Christ was in and with him. So believe that secret number three. Secret number four is he knew that Jesus, who was with him in the fight, was not only giving him a righteous cause outwardly, but also a righteous cause inwardly through all of his pains. To do what? By all those troubles, to polish him, to purify him, to make him the greater and stronger by it, and to conform him into the image of Jesus Christ, the righteous, through all of his sufferings. Paul says, we rejoice in our sufferings as Christians, for they just produce in us endurance, and then character, and then hope, a hope which doesn't disappoint us. Job also said, he knows the way I take, though, and when he's tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Peter says, rejoice in your sufferings as you share in Christ's sufferings, that you may also rejoice and be glad when his glory is revealed. James, count it all joy, my brethren, when you meet various trials. For, you know, the testing of your faith is going to produce steadfastness in you, which its full effect will be that you're going to be complete and perfect, lacking in nothing. Think of this. With whatever pain you're experiencing today, every blow Apollo gives you, every punch to knock you down, every swipe to try to knock you out is only making you stronger. God, Jesus, is using that to chisel you into his image. Just as Rocky was beaten to weaken his flesh, every time his flesh was weakened, his spirit rose with greater determination for victory. He was just getting mad, remember? And he said, my mother hits harder than that. And he went on as an Italian tank and mowed through Apollo. The Bible says that righteous cause is being worked in you. Your flesh weak, yes. Your old nature weak, yes. But your spirit is being made strong by these blows. Rejoice in that. Secret number four. And the last and final secret, number five, is that Paul knew that all of his sufferings ultimately had this great purpose, to wean him from this world and get him ready for the next one. Look at what he says in 2 Corinthians 4. He says, we don't lose heart. That's what we're after, a winning attitude. We don't lose heart. For though our outer nature is wasting away, our inner nature is being renewed every day. For this slight, momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison, he says. How did Paul endure shipwrecks, attacks, stonings, jailings, danger, desertion, death threats, and the world against him? It was because, he says, this is just slight. The word there in the Greek is, this is all light, he says. It's easy to bear. I can basically laugh at it. It has no real weight. This is just momentary. The word there means just for the present moment, it's not going to last long. It's an affliction which is a pressing, a crushing, a squeezing in trouble. But all this is just preparing for me, katargadzamai. It's just having this effect that the weight of glory that I'm heading to, of splendor and honor and riches and pleasures and joys, is going to be magnified and multiplied by my sufferings, which I'll experience soon in the world to come. He says, an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. In the Greek, that's kath, hyperbole, eis, hyperbole, from hyperbole into hyperbole. The pleasures, the joys, the triumphant result and effect of all these pains is going to be so far beyond your wildest imagination, it makes all this easy to bear. It's as if on football Sunday, right? Super Bowl Sunday, it's as if you're going to kick a field goal to win the game, and you kick the field goal, it not only goes through the goal posts and over them, it goes out of the stadium, out of the state, out of the country, out of the world, to the farthest reaches of space and beyond, and it never even stops. That's the result and effect of you enduring pains now. The glory of the world to come is all the more increased. That was his secret. He's looking to the joys of where this is all bringing him. To you, Jesus himself, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. He looked beyond it. You look beyond it too, despising its shame, and he's now seated at the right hand of the throne of God for the joy that was set before him. Secret number five. So, can you say, yeah, pain, is no fun. Who likes to suffer? And we all do. But don't poo-poo it too much. Don't pout about it. Don't say, poor me, poor me. It's just expected. It's required. We're all in the same boat about this. It has a great purpose. A righteous cause outwardly in the great war, you're going to win. A righteous cause inwardly, Christ is making you a victor through him. And it's leading you to the eternal joys in the world to come. So take courage today and say, I can do all things with Christ who's with me and strengthens me. And soon you're going to be able to say with Paul, I fought that good fight, I finished the race, and now I've kept the faith. Henceforth, there's there is the crown of righteousness, which God, Jesus, the King, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but to all who have loved his appearing. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's message called How to Endure Suffering, a broadcast of Chart and Compass Ministry of Christ Lutheran Church in Cape Canaveral. I'm Art Hansen, speaking for Pastor Greg Lassier. And if you're looking for a church home or would like to stop by and just visit, our services are at 10 a.m. on Sunday and worship Bible study is at 7 p.m. on Wednesday. Christ Lutheran is located on Highway A1A in Cape Canaveral, right across from the old Recreation Center. If you'd like to hear more messages, be sure to visit our website at ChristLutheranChurchCapeCanaveral.org. Thanks for tuning in, and I look forward to sharing God's Word with you again next Monday at 12:30. Have a wonderful week in our Lord Jesus Christ, the great captain of our soul, and God bless you.